Hello, and welcome to the third episode of Media Blast Podcast Edition, where we discuss any media topic regarding movies, video games, shows, and more. My name is Tyler Martin, and I'm your host for this podcast series. With all that said, let us begin once more. So, you ever wonder why lots of different types of media are like what they are today compared to the past? Like, we used to treat regional properties differently, but now we agree to leave them as they're originally intended to be. That includes video games, anime, and a lot of other stuff. Cultures have been changing throughout the years, I'll tell you that. Let's dive back to the 80s. The video game industry was growing and growing, yeah? Every year that passed in that era, we would get some new arcade games, as well as home console games from Nintendo, Namco, Atari, and more. And it's not just in America, but other regions like Japan. A lot of those games came from Japan, that much is obvious, but how did those games appeal to the American audience anyway? Well, it's simple, really. It's mainly the promotional art that's made for them. Take Pac-Man, for example. In Japan, he was designed exactly the way we all know and love today. Black pie-shaped eyes, long nose, orange boxing gloves, and red boots. We all love that, right? Of course we do. But in America, they had to come up with their own interpretation to make Pac-Man this weird, smiling creature with only two legs and red eyes. And then there's Miss Pac-Man. They literally gave that yellow ball, like, female legs and facial features. Like human female legs and facial features. Weird. Another example is a 90s icon from the console games, Sonic the Hedgehog. In Japan, Sonic was designed to be a blue anthropomorphic hedgehog with red sneakers and gold buckles, connected eyeballs, white gloves with five fingers, and six spikes or quills on the back of his head. And in America, most of those design choices stayed the same, except Sonic had flat mohawk spikes and no buckles on his shoes, and four fingers, like the traditional American cartoon thing. And on a related note, Dr. Eggman, or Dr. Robotnik as everyone outside Japan used to call him, was designed to be goofy in Japan, but around here, he was designed and interpreted to be pretty menacing. I mean, that also applies to the cartoons. Sure, Robotnik was silly in AOSDH, Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, but in Sonic Hedgehog cartoons that AM, Robotnik was actually menacing. Yeesh! But those Robotniks were cool though. Why did they alter the cutesy designs of our favorite video games to be all ugly and weird, you may ask? Well, it's because those were the days where everything from different countries had to be Americanized so they would fit into the American culture, and the marketing here would be a success in selling those beloved games. Those were the cheesy, radical times where things had to be so cool and extreme, rock and roll and skateboarding and all that junk. Man, those were quite the days. Even Kirby wasn't safe from the Americanization. Now, let's talk about anime. Remember Deke Entertainment, the people behind the famous Inspector Gadget cartoon? Well, what if I told you that they made their own English dub of Sailor Moon? Yep, they did. From 1995 to 2000, Deke did a dub of Sailor Moon through seasons 1 to 2, the dub was later titled as the Cloverway dub between season 3 and 4. And how exactly did it go? Well, it was going fine at first, but the Deke slash Cloverway dub was terrible. There were lots of changes that were completely unnecessary. Besides the terrible voice acting, there were lots of cultural differences, censorships, cut scenes, character name changes, and a changed story overall. This Sailor Moon dub is also a perfect example of how we would use to make these changes to appeal to the American audience. Not only was Sailor Moon changed back then, but there were also some stupid changes with one of the Pokemon anime. You know one of the characters, Brock, right? Ash and Misty's friend? There is this one scene where he eats that one Japanese food called rice balls, but you know what he called them in the English dub instead, right? Jelly donuts! Really? Since when do donuts look like that? I have never seen a jelly-filled donut that looks like a rice ball. That was just a laugh. But here's a real slap in the knee. There's a second time Brock could call rice balls by a wrong name. He and his friends were just having some dinner as guests at a fancy place, and what did Brock call the rice balls this time? Not rice, but popcorn. Popcorn balls! First jelly-filled donuts, and now popcorn balls! Seriously, they made Brock very uncultured when it comes to regional food. I'm gonna go to the nearest Japanese restaurant and confuse the waiters by asking them, "Yes, hi, do you serve any jelly-filled donuts that look like this? Or are they called popcorn balls? I might be getting the two confused." But, enough of my little rant there. Looking back at that stuff, they were admittedly some good memories, sure, yeah, I can agree to that. but they pale in comparison to what we have today. Thanks to the invention of the internet, we slowly gained lots of accessibility, and all the IPs, games and anime and all, stayed very true to the original source materials internationally. All the games kept the exact same designs, and we can watch the original Japanese versions of any anime. And now we all agreed that every property has to stay exactly how they're supposed to, although some slight changes or censorships are okay, as long as it doesn't change everything. And that does it for the third episode of Media Blast Podcast Edition. Man, we really went in full depth with that one, didn't we? With all that said, stay tuned for the next episode of the show, stay safe, and have a blast!